T-minus 90. United Nations Headquarters, Manhattan, New York. When Leisha greeted the humans with a simple hello, he didn't truly speak. No sound was made, and his words, his thoughts, were heard in each recipient's own mental accent. Dan was most accustomed to this, having conversed similarly using a more painful cable connected directly to his neck on several occasions. He watched in mild amusement as Tara and Godfrey reacted rather giddily to the odd mental sensation.
"Thank you for communicating with us," Godfrey said.
He did speak out loud, entirely needlessly, and for a few seconds Dan wondered how the thought would sound in Leisha's mental accent once it had been translated. Leisha didn't reply, but rather turned to Dan.
"I look forward to seeing the child," he said. "Tara showed me."
"On my phone,"
Tara explained, following Godfrey's lead of speaking out loud. "Oh," Dan said, instinctively doing the same and cementing the convention that the humans would speak aloud while Leisha merely thought his replies. "Definitely. Once we get things figured out here, I'm sure Emma would be okay with that. She'll want to see you too. Emma, I mean, Piper's too young to understand anything about aliens yet," he laughed. Leisha smiled. He had picked this gesture up from the Fords and McCarthys during a previous visit and could now do it quite naturally.
"But Dan," Leisha said, even the tone somehow translating as ominous as Dan heard the words in his own inner voice. "This waiting cannot go on. I have been here alone most of an Earth year since your human crew departed. I vowed to remain until your people return, and I will, but we all expected to be working together on other projects by then. In the absence of our elders, my kind would greatly benefit from human input on other challenges we are not used to tackling alone. You know by now that we would gladly assist with the challenges your planet faces, but I can only stay here for so long. Every one of my kind appreciates your assistance with our great shelter, but if New Kerguelen has neither elder nor human wisdom, I am needed at home."
The humans sat in rapt attention, focusing keenly on the words entering their minds.
"You know there are only two senior individuals within my caste," Leisha went on. "Only two of us are trusted to lead, and Sako must be bearing as heavy a load at home as I am here. He bears the load of responsibility, I bear the load of isolation. We wish to work together, Dan, ultimately to revive our elders, but first to further stabilize our respective worlds, and this wish is growing increasingly urgent. If we cannot begin to meaningfully cooperate soon, I simply must return to New Kerguelen. Last time I was home, I left on the reluctant understanding that if humanity is not able to unite in a way that enables meaningful cooperation between our races, I will not be able to keep trying. The door to New Kerguelen cannot be left open indefinitely."
At that, Leisha removed his cable. With his point plainly stated, he clearly had no interest in any replies. Actions spoke louder than words, and the course of the day would determine what happened next, presumably with a second link-up to follow. Godfrey disconnected his cable next and rose to his feet.
"What do you think?"
Tara silently asked Dan, making the most of the link-up while she had it. He grinned slightly at the novelty of it all before his expression sobered to one more suitable for the situation. "He's right. We do have to be proactive. And the door to New Kerguelen is more or less literally a door. We don't have any clue about the shortcut or Stargate or whatever else you want to call it, and we can't count on ever being able to get back to New Kerguelen without them taking us. Assuming they'd ever even let us, that is. Unless something huge comes up in the next few hours, I'm done with this Unica gridlock. We're leaving today." Tara nodded approvingly while Dan disconnected his cable, then followed suit.
"Dan, a moment?" Godfrey asked, moving slowly to a corner of the room.
"Sure," Dan replied, following him over. Tara lifted her phone from her pocket again and showed Leisha some more pictures of Piper, knowingly distracting him to avoid any potential suspicion over Godfrey's whispering. "What's up?"
Dan asked Godfrey, gazing over at Leisha until he saw how engaged he was by the baby photos. This alone would once have been an unimaginably bizarre thing to see, but in the context of everything else, it barely even registered. Godfrey leaned in even closer.
Leisha doesn't seem to think this is worth knowing, but a Chinese crew member returned yesterday, feigning illness. The fact that Leisha hasn't mentioned it leads me to think the messengers bought the man's excuse. We know Leisha has contact with New Kerguelen via his craft's instrumentation, but another craft was within our atmosphere yesterday to bring the crew member home, and that man insists he didn't see Leisha at any point. That suggests they don't know there's a deeper meaning for the early return. No?
Dan gulped, with no idea what Godfrey was getting at, but a strong feeling that something about it wasn't good.
Anyway, when the man returned to Beijing, he insisted that the whole repair crew, Americans too, know exactly what he knows and approved of his coming home to tell us as soon as it emerged.
As soon as what emerged? Dan asked, struggling to keep his volume down and too caught up to consider that it didn't matter since Leisha wouldn't understand his words anyway. What's the information?
It's about this great shelter they're so concerned about. You know, the one their ancestors built to keep their increasingly hostile outside planetary environment at bay.
Spit it out, Dan grunted.
Well, it doesn't seem to actually do anything. Godfrey whispered, speaking the words as though he himself was struggling to comprehend them. Dan, as far as our extensive instrumentation can tell, the atmosphere is perfectly fine. I don't have to tell you that this raises a trillion questions about the shelter itself, but I'm thinking about something else right now, something it makes possible in the very near future.
Dan stood completely still, stunned in silence. There were a billion questions, and some were positively perplexing, but he too was thinking something else.
You mean next time we send a crew?
Exactly, Godfrey said, patting Dan gently on the back. As soon as we shake off the shackles of this place and get you back to New Kerguelen, you can go outside.